You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Here in Cleveland, Allstate agents don't wait for something bad to happen to do something good. They're out in our community every day making it a better place for everyone. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, back with you on Browns Daily. Matt, day two today of the mini camp. What stood out to you? Top three takeaways.
Top three takeaway. Can one, two, and three all be how impressive this offense was down in the red zone?
Yes.
Okay. Because they were. And as a defensive guy, I still continue to take that picture when they break the huddle. That's what a lot of defensive players do. You look at who's lining up where and what the offense is trying to accomplish by lining up these individuals all over the football field. And even on the first play, they came out in a switch set, which means Hausler was the widest receiver on the line of scrimmage, and Andrew Hawkins was about 3 yards inside of him, you know, off the line of scrimmage. So simply to me, what does that mean? Hauser's going to run like an up-the-field clear-out route to create some type of space for Andrew Hawkins, which he, in fact, then had ran a double move.
Ran
but
out.
More so than anything, Joe Hayden ended up being the outside corner covering Rob Hausler, and the offense accomplished its job by getting the matchup it wanted. Andrew Hawkins on, in this case, a strong safety who happened to be Dante Whitner. He ran a great double, almost triple move, and made a great catch to score.
Perfect
so,
throw from McCown.
It's the thought process that goes into that matchup, understanding what type of defense you're going to play. So not only did the players execute, which has been part of the problem around here, making those big plays, delivering the ball, and then having a receiver who can make the catch, but it's the philosophy behind it that it actually makes a lot of sense that what John DeFilippo thought up on a whiteboard and then put into a playbook, it's being executed by these guys. So the refinement that I continue to talk about that should happen in this minicamp after install during OTAs is you're progressing. That's the one thing that I saw out of this today, out of these guys today, is the progress being made offensively, and it's been a continuation. It was ugly early in those OTAs. It was ugly, and it was a slaughter by that defense. But now they're making headway, and it's a place where I think you can make a difference and win a lot of football games by scoring touchdowns down the red zone instead of kicking field goals.
I want to ask you this, though. So let's go back to that play. You talked about Andrew Hawkins was outside, was inside. Hausler was outside. Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner were playing man-to-man. Why don't they just switch that and just put Whitner on Hausler and Hayden on Hawkins?
And as you asked me this very similar question, down on the sideline, and the answer I gave you, without knowing the specifics of the defense, is that for whatever reason, it's a rule breaker in the playbook.
And what does that mean?
What does that mean? That means if you can't start specializing at this point. Now, in the season, when you're tapering down that playbook specific to the team that you're playing, and you're coached to know that set is coming by, we'll say, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
When Heath Miller lines wide and Antonio Brown set inside, you and Whitner switch, and you play it that way. But for this point right now, it's a rule breaker, and because you're teaching a blackboard, because if Joe Hayden and Dante Whitner go out and do something, guess who's going to follow suit when it's Charles Gaines and Ibrahim Campbell? See what I mean? And right now, you want them learning the playbook as it sets on that iPad or on that whiteboard.
Do you also not want to give away that you're in man? Because if you do swap that, that's a tell that you're in man. You
sure.
could be playing a zone
absolutely.
And keep Hayden there and Whitner there.
Absolutely, it absolutely is. That's a great point. When you look at things, is a defense wants to give you one standard look. That's why you see safeties holding, and you in some cases for us, we're down on the sideline. It's like, hold it. You're hearing those defensive back coaches talking to those safeties. Hold it.
Don't tip it
because one step, one lean, quarterbacks and offensive coordinators are good enough to see that tendency in you,
and
having watched every play that you've played all season long, to know exactly what you're in. That when that quarterback sees that tip, that's when you see a Peyton Manning audible or an audible at the line of scrimmage to know exactly what coverage you're in, and then they just knock them down.
All right, we're going to get into more of our takeaways, but very interesting X's and O talk with Matt Wilhelm there. We're going to break. All right, we're going to have Mike Pettine coming up in just 1 second, and I think that does make a lot of sense, because if you're running, you're right there. If you're, let's say you're going against a Peyton Manning or you're going against an Andrew Luck or a Philip Rivers or somebody and you do that swap, they immediately know you're a man.
Of course. And like I said, it's right now because it's just practice and you're practicing against the Cleveland Browns, there's no reason to change it just to succeed in practice. You got to teach – because Joe Hayden, Dante Whitner, and these guys, as we've heard from these young rookies who look up to these guys who are asking questions, you know, unless the coach is saying, hey, you play it this way, but everybody else played a different way, they're teaching it right now. They're blackboarding it. Run it the way we teach it, and we'll specialize it as we get into the season.
Yeah, and it was a great throw from Josh McCown in the red zone, the first one, 3 touchdowns, 1 to Andrew Hawkins, 1 to Gary Barnes on what looked like a blown coverage, and 1 to Duke Johnson off of a sick double move on the outside, a little jerk route.
Little
that
angle
guy
route.
Is going to be a weapon.
He gave a threat like he was running to the flat, which immediately puts whoever's covering him into chase mode.
Yep.
Right? Then all Duke
cross
did is cross his face as if he's, you know, Steph Curry's crossing up Matthew Dellavedova, you know, and he crossed his face, got an, and then it's just very difficult for a linebacker who just went from 0 to 60 to have to change directions with a player like Duke Johnson. And down there in the red zone, an accurate throw ahead of him, it's a touchdown every time.
Touchdown every time. Why do the Browns do – the Browns play their dime package differently than you see a lot of teams. Why do they play their dime a lot of times with 3 safeties, 3 corners?
It's probably just a package. It might be a package that they've inserted down here. And
they did it a lot last year, too.
Well, that'll be a great question next time we have Jim O'Neill, or if you and I are able to corner him. It might be a situation where it's team specific. Because if they're not 4 wide receiver threats, you might feel more comfortable with that 3rd safety being able to cover their 4th wide receiver. Or lastly, if you're getting a lot of bunch sets, you know, you want a guy who can play off the ball and decipher and switch out, you know, all those bunch sets. Because every time you see a bunch, in most cases, it's 1 up, 1 out, 1 in. That's
right.
those cluster formations.
All right, we're going to go to the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, live here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven like Liberty Ford.
Okay.
Justin Gilbert,
he is not here. His absence is excused. I spoke to him last night. He's got a personal matter he's dealing with. It's a family issue. I'll leave it at that.
How do you feel about the performance of the offense today?
Hard to ever give an accurate opinion without seeing it to see how we were with the little details of it. But I think like most of these practices, did some good things. And other times, you know, struggled a little bit. But I think it's good the way we compete. We go back and forth. But I think we're finding out as we get going kind of who we are, you know, what things are we going to major in, what things are we going to minor in. I mean, that's what this time's for.
Like, it's been almost the whole offseason. Have you seen strides out of Johnny as a quarterback?
Absolutely have, of all those guys. I mean, and it's tough coming in to learn a new system and to be going against a pretty good, a darn good secondary who's basically a year ahead. But I think overall that, you know, if you ask me, has he improved from the day he set foot back in the building? Absolutely.
Can you say how? Like different ways that he did?
I just think in all the little things that it takes to be an NFL quarterback.
What do you think those impact on the wide receiver group that you have here, especially with some of the younger talent at wide receivers you have?
Yeah, it was a young group. It's good to have a veteran like Dwayne and then bring in a Brian Hartline and then have Hawkins already here. And the thing about Dwayne, we wanted to make sure that we had pretty good variation, diversity in the skill set in that room, and a bigger body guy that can still be covered but has a good catch radius, strong hands that can, you know, that can make the contested catches. You know, he's proven he can do that throughout his career. So that's throughout the spring he's shown us time and time again examples of why we brought him here.
Mike, when you talked yesterday about Manziel, you said it's still early for him. Tomorrow's the last day of the offseason minicamp. When does it stop being early for him? What do you need to see it on the field?
as we get closer to the season, when we go against other teams. I mean, right now, when you're in the installation phase of an offense, that's early. You're crawling, and to me, you'll get to the point as we transition the way we build it. And this is for all the guys that especially offensively, anytime you're putting in something new, you crawl first, and then you evolve to the point where hopefully, as you're getting to the season, you can sprint. But it's a progression, and you have to go through it. There's no substitute for it. So the last thing we want to do is push it and feel that we needed to be at a certain spot. He's taken all the information we've given him, and he's applied it, and he's worked hard, just like the other guys in that room. I'm very pleased with where that quarterback room is.
Is the approach with him the same now as it was last year at this time, or did you just see some flaws in his game maybe last year that you have to kind of retool the way you're trying to fit him in the offense?
No, because we're still in just the phase of learning the basics of an offense. As we get closer and when it's going to be his time to play, that we will tailor the plays that we're running to his skill set, just like we'll tailor certain plays towards Connor, towards Josh. It doesn't matter who's in there. So we'll be mindful of doing things that we as a play caller you want to maximize your chances to be successful, and that's no different. You just have to be aware of who you have on the field.
Did you like the idea?
Yesterday that it'll be at the end of camp that you'll decide the repetitions for training camp and what the depth chart is. But when you have a quarterback who's a first round pick in Manziel, does he automatically get a boost over Connor Shaw? Or if Shaw has shown you more,
I wouldn't say that. We don't get, once guys are here in the building, we don't get too wrapped up in how they were acquired.
Did you like the idea of him bringing his high school coach here? Positive stuff in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't want to get into the details because it deals with his life out of the building and off the field. But to me, anything that where he felt comfortable and he felt it was helpful for him, and I would encourage anybody that takes those steps to do something like that, I'd encourage it.
Mike, if you have you're going to tailor plays for Manziel, well, if you have to make a switch in mid game for any reason, how drastic a switch will it be?
I don't think it's too drastic. You'll have your stock plays that are going to be up each week. And as a coordinator, when you build a game plan, you have to be mindful of who the guys are that potentially could play. So when you build a plan, that it has to be, that the inventory has to be enough that if you have to, over the course of the game, start to highlight different areas of that inventory, then you're able to do it. I think it's, you're short-sighted as a coordinator if you have a varied skill set between a starter and a backup at any position, and you don't have plays available to take advantage of their strengths.
We can only judge by one practice that we're able to watch. It appears McCown is able to get the ball down the field better to make more plays. Is that accurate in your mind, and what would be the reason for that?
Yeah, I mean, Josh has made some good plays down the field. He's had guys that have been getting open down the field for him. I mean, it's certainly a function of who you're out there with, and what plays are getting called. Some plays are designed for it to go down the field, but if the coverage takes it away, I mean, that's a big part of an NFL offense is gathering pre-snap information. What are they in defensively? And kind of already knowing where the ball's likely to go if pre-snap happens or if post-snap happens what you think you're getting pre-snap. So I think Josh is a pretty good deep ball thrower, but I think all of our guys in the right circumstances can get the ball down the field accurately.
Of all the rookies, who are you particularly excited to see in pads?
That's a tough question. It's like asking me which one of my kids is my favorite.
You don't have one?
No, I'm not going there. No, I think you want to see them all in pads, and I hate to not answer the question, but as I've said before, this isn't real football, and you kind of have it. You're mindful of, hey, it'll be a little bit different when we have the pads on, but. I think just in general, we're very optimistic about this rookie class. I think they've come in, they've been they've either met or exceeded our expectations to date, but it's still just a very early in their progression that we are just in shorts. And I think some of the guys, their games, you know, especially the linemen or the defense, some of the defensive guys that, you know, that the playing in shorts doesn't necessarily translate well for them. So we are very much looking forward to training camp and having it be much more realistic.
Have you seen a big leap in Johnny this year, just in terms of all the things it takes to be a pro quarterback, in terms of just going through his progressions and spitting out the plays and knowing or calling the protections and all that kind of stuff?
Well, the thing that's encouraging is the answer is yes, and it's also that's what's being required of them. I mean, that room is, between Flip's background as a quarterback coach and between Kevin's, his attention to detail, that they're very demanding, and those guys are asked to do a lot, and they've responded.
And these plays easier to call, Mike, than last year's when they were like 17 or 18 words we were told.
Well, we still have some of those. What we like to do is you teach the original play with the wordiness, and then you get to the point where you switch into your no huddle mode, and now you can call all those plays essentially with just a handful of words. So when all the plays get installed, it might have double digit words to it, but then off to the side in red on the playbook page will be a single word. This is the code word for this play when we do eventually get to the point where we want to shorten it. So we want to teach it the whole thing early, knowing that we'll be able to condense it down the road.
Two more?
Mike, how is Charles Gaines coming along?
Typical rookie corner. I love his attitude, his confidence, that he's not afraid to step right in there. He doesn't care who he's going against. And, I think that's the mentality that you have to have. But, he's got some things from a technical standpoint that he's got to work on, no different than most rookies coming in. But we're encouraged so far with what we've seen from him.
Mike, right now, Manziel is two out here. Is he closer to number one or closer to number three?
I don't. We're one, two, three, four. We're not one minus, two plus. To me, it's we're still just building it here. And to me, those decisions will be much easier to make and be worth giving an opinion on when we get to training camp. Well, I wasn't in it as much a year ago, so being involved in those meetings now and being around those guys more, that I do sense it. Not to speak on last year, but just having been around Josh that's just his personality. That's a natural thing for him. He wants the offense. He doesn't care who's playing quarterback. He wants the offense to be successful. And he's a football junkie. If he sees a quarterback make a good throw, then he'll be fired up about it.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
Hey, Coach. Just wanted to say hi. How are you?
That was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, addressing the media after today's mini camp. Justin Gilbert with an excused absence, probably the most noteworthy thing come out of that, talking about the quarterbacks who had a very, very solid day, especially Josh McCown. We're going to take a break. We still expect to hear from Johnny Manziel coming up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.